Welcome to the fifth sermon in our sermon series entitled, The One Another's. God never intended us to do life alone. Our relationship with God requires being part of community with one another. Today's sermon title, Welcome One Another. Open your Bible to Romans 15, verses 1 through 7, and let's begin.
Good morning, church. Go ahead and take a seat. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your acceptance and your welcome in our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you meet us where you're at. And Father, you love us first in our brokenness and you love us despite us. And then, Lord, that love begins to transform us from the inside out. Lord, it is a gift of grace. Help us, Lord, to extend that love and help us to be a church where people feel your love and acceptance through us. And we ask for your help in this in Jesus' good name. Amen. Well, church, it's so good to be with you this morning. I missed you last week, but I was really grateful to have a week with the fam. I think Allie and I, we got this parenting thing figured out. too easy. Just kidding. I was crying right before I came. But no, we're loving it. It's been an amazing experience. But big thanks to Jovan for preaching last week. Yeah, I'm so great. You can give him a round of applause. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there. But so thankful for him. Jovan, 2 weeks ago, he preached at Old Brooklyn. Last week, he was here. This week, he's at Columbia Station. He's just all bouncing around, and I just appreciate his servant heart. He's just so willing to serve our church anywhere, anytime. So really grateful for him. And today we are going to continue our One Another series. And I've really been enjoying this series. And I think this is so important because what I want for our church, if we're going to be great at anything, I want us to be great at loving people. That's the most important thing. Love God and love others. Jesus said, if you do those two things, you're good to go. Your priorities are right. And so when I think about us as a church, if we can continue to grow in our love for God and we can be better at loving each other, then we're on our way, church, right? And we are going down the path that God has for us. And that's what these one another's are all about. How do we relate to each other more in the ways that God wants us to? And today we're going to talk about welcoming one another. And this is so important because there's a desire within every human heart. And at different times in your life, you felt this more than other times. And here's what the desire is. We all have a longing to belong. All of us. We want to belong. We want to belong somewhere. We want to be invited into relationships of some kind. And you know, if that need goes unmet, we'll do all kinds of crazy things to try and get that belonging. Can I remind some of you of your high school years? What you did to get a sense of belonging? It's a very natural and powerful drive in the human heart. And I believe it's from God. And it's actually good. But what makes it difficult is when we don't practice what we're going to talk about today. This idea of welcoming one another. And I remember several years ago, I went to Cleveland State for my undergrad, and I was, you know, a couple years into the program, and I was a good student. I was never a great student in college, and one day I got this letter in the mail, and it was from an honor society. And it said, "Dear Chet Beatler, you've been invited to the International Honor Society of the universe." That's kind of how I remember it. And I was surprised that letter came to me, to be honest. Because like I said, I was a good student. And maybe I'm stretching good a little bit further than good should go. But I didn't seem to be a great student. And to be part of the International Honor Society of the universe, that's for great students. But I thought, hey, you know, I'm just surprised. I surprised myself with how much potential I actually have, you know. See, Chet, you shouldn't underestimate yourself anymore. Finally, Mom is going to be proud of you. And I began to just, you know, talk smack to my 10th grade. history teacher that said I would never amount to anything. I thought, well, guess what? I'm in the International Honor Society now. And y'all aren't supporting me on this. This is a big deal. You're thoroughly unimpressed. Thank you. Amen. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And I was real excited. But then as I continued to read, it said you could be part of this society for about $300 a year. And then I realized everybody at Cleveland State got this letter because it was like the International Honor Society of Egypt or something. Didn't even make sense. So I'm very proud to say that today you are looking at a premier member. $300, if that's all it takes, I'll do it. but there is that we want to be part of something. We want to be special. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be known. We want people to see that we have something to offer and that we have value. And that's all this thing called belonging. And like I said, I believe that this is something from God. And it's something that ultimately, that sense of belonging, we can't ultimately find it in any club, in any work, in any athletic team. We can get pieces of it, but where that desire is ultimately meant to be fulfilled is the realization that every one of us matters to God and belongs to God. You with me on this? And this is where that need is ultimately met. And so what this means for us is that you and I, we have this responsibility. And this is the welcoming one another. We have a responsibility to help people know that they matter to God and they belong to Him. Because guess what? People don't know that. In fact, oftentimes people think the exact opposite. People think they don't matter to God. People think they would never be welcomed by God. People think they can't come to church because of their past or decisions they've made or situations that they're in. And this is where you and I have to own this responsibility to help people feel that love and that acceptance from God. They're going to feel that through us. That's how it's supposed to work. And so it's something we have to take very seriously. You with me on this, church? And this is so important. And so that's what we're talking about today. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 15, and we're going to pick up at verse 1. It's page 945-49 in the Bibles around you. You can read on there or read on the screen. But here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up." And we're going to dig into what he's talking about here. "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in our former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ," which, by the way, the only biblical car to have is an Accord, because they're always in Accord. And I got a 2004 that I'll sell to you for a good price. Sorry. "In accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." First service didn't think that was that funny either. I'm not discouraged, though. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. There's our verse for today. Say that with me. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. This is how we create the community that God wants in his church, that God wants for his people. We welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. And in this sermon, I'm going to talk to you about how Christ has welcomed us. And it is absolutely stunning when you think about it. And Paul says this all glorifies God. So let me talk about this in three ways this morning. The problem: welcoming one another sounds so easy. And everything we've been talking about, in theory, it sounds so easy. Yeah, love people. Don't be a jerk. Don't be a creep. Seems easy. But we all know it's not as easy as it sounds. And so there's a problem that we have to face that makes this hard. Secondly, we have to see God's vision. We've got to keep our eyes on what God wants and what God intends for us. And then lastly, we're going to talk about how we can take steps to be people that welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. So the problem, the vision, the solution. You feel good about that? Can I get a good Southern amen if you feel good about it? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. The problem, the vision, the solution. So let's talk about the problem first. Here's what the problem is. And this is a problem that is outside of the church and inside of the church. The problem is that we love to fight about everything and anything. Have you ever noticed that? And the church is no better. Sometimes people, they're not followers of Christ, and they sincerely ask me. They're like, Chet, why are there like 8,000 different Christian denominations? And I'm like, because we're stupid. That's the best answer I can give you. Because we're stupid and we love to argue. And we love to build walls that we don't have to build. And it confuses everybody outside of the faith. But we get holy and righteous on our side of it and think we're right and good. That's the problem. That's the problem, is that we will create division and we will create problems with people that don't actually have to be there. And in Romans chapter 15, believe it or not, this is a problem that goes all the way back to the very first days of the church. They couldn't get along either. They were trying to figure out who's in and who's out, just like we tend to do as human beings. And they were arguing about something really, really deep and profound. And they were fighting over it. And here's what they were arguing about. You ready for this? It's very deep. It's very spiritual. It's very profound. Should we eat vegetables or meat? You think I'm kidding? This is what they were arguing about. Now, there's a little more historical context to this. In the ancient world, when you went and bought meat from the market, almost all of the meat had been part of some pagan worship service. So it was part of worshiping Zeus or Athena or Aphrodite. And it ended up being part of that service. And then when they were done with it, they would bring it to the marketplace and you could just go and buy a steak and bring it home, cook it up, and glorify God. But what happened is some of the people said, we can't eat this meat. It's been blessed by Zeus. It's been blessed by Athena. And so we're just going to eat veggies. We're going to give up this meat because we can't find it anywhere where it hasn't been part of one of these, you know, false religions. And then other people in church, they said, who cares? If it's a good cut of meat, let's eat it. Yeah, that's right. I totally get that side. In fact, this has become my new life verse right here. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. It's the word of God, church. You deal with the scripture as it is. That's what it says. That's why I don't eat any veggies. I want to expel all the weakness out of my life. It's funny, my mom's actually a vegetarian too, so I can't use this next service, but this one, I can get away with it. But this is, believe it or not, this is what they were dividing over. And here's what Paul's point is, and here's what we need to know today, because we may not argue about that, but we argue about equally as dumb stuff. And we can let as insignificant things as that continue to divide us as a people of God. The problem is we divide way too easily. That's it. We allow things to separate us. And there's a very human tendency to do that. The human tendency within our hearts is not to build bridges and to unite. The tendency in the human heart is to build walls and to divide. And so what we have to do is we have to recognize that as a problem, and we have to ask for God's help in making it right and becoming a place where we're not drawing artificial lines in the sand that God never intended. Because sometimes that's what we love to do. We love to look at some people and say, well, your sins are so much different than me, so you're really messed up, and what you struggle with means you're out, but what I struggle with, it's not that big of a deal, so I'm in. And it's not that big of a deal because it's what I struggle with. So obviously it can't be, right? And we create these artificial lines that God has never created. And we unnecessarily hurt relationships, and we create an environment where people who are far from God have one more obstacle to find the incredible love for God. See, who's welcome at our church? We've made that decision very, very simple. Who's welcome at our church? Anyone and everyone. Anyone who is searching for God is welcome here. Anyone who needs help is welcome here. And we're not going to draw artificial lines in the sand and create obstacles that don't need to be there and that drive us apart. You with me on this, church? This is the problem. And we can do it as a church, and we can do it as individuals in our lives if we're not careful. And we miss the beauty of what God wants to do through us. And sometimes people get pushed back in their journey towards God because we put a roadblock in their way that didn't have to be there. And friends, that is a tragedy. And they lose decades of their life where they could have lived it connected to God, knowing God, loving God, growing in God, but because the church rejected them, because the church put up something, an obstacle there that didn't need to be there, it caught them up and it put them off that path. And so that's a problem. Now let's talk a little bit about the vision that God has. So in Romans chapter 15, if you look at that again, you'll see that Paul says, we who are strong have an obligation with the weak. And he continues to go on. And what he's ultimately saying there, he's saying, if you are spiritually mature, strong, because you are on the keto diet and you eat only meat and maybe some avocado, but that's about it. You don't get beyond that. And you're living life as God wants you to. He says you have an obligation to help bring people together and to harmonize people and to unite them so that with one voice, we can all glorify God. Paul says that's God's vision. See, God's vision isn't to make us all the same. You know, that he's going to sort of put us through the divine assembly line, and everyone, no matter what you were, no matter what you are, no matter where you came from, you go through this assembly line, and then you pop out as Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. I don't know if anyone watches that show anymore, but you pop out like that, and everyone looks the same, everybody thinks the same, everyone believes the same things, and we've just completely been made totally alike. And Paul says that's not the vision. God is more concerned with unity. And what unity is, it's not uniformity. Uniformity is where we all just act the same, think the same, live the same, are from the same experiences. But Paul says in the church of God, he wants unity. And unity means we aren't from the same backgrounds. We're not from the same areas. We didn't grow up in the same ways. We don't see everything the same. We don't agree 100%. But even though there are all these differences, there is still this thing called the grace of God that makes us one. And what that thing is that's pulling us together is so much stronger than all these other forces that can pull us apart. And Paul said, that's God's vision for the church. The church should be people of all different cultures, all different backgrounds, all different walks of life, all different ages, all different everything, where we find a way to get along, to love each other, to serve each other, and to grow in Christ together. You with me on this, church? And when we do that, it creates something beautiful that God uses in the world to glorify his name. Instead of saying, well, you can be part if you think like me, look like me, make decisions like me, believe everything like me, and I think you're okay. That's a complete wrong mindset. You with me on this, church? So that's the vision. Now let's talk a bit about the solution. So at the end, then Paul summarizes all this, and he says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. So I want to get really practical for a few minutes this morning. Give me a good amen if you're cool with going practical for a minute.
Amen.
All right, that was fairly mediocre, but I'll run with it. I'll take what I can get. Here's how we begin to practice it. Number one, if we're going to get good at this, we have to become better at welcoming people into our church. And whose job is that? It's your job and my job. If this is your church, if this is your community where you're going to serve God, you're going to worship God, you're going to try and help grow in your own relationship with God, then this is for you. And you are part of this. And you have a responsibility to this. Because we're supposed to be the kind of place where people come through these doors. And as they interact with you, as they interact with me, they sense the love of God already before anything else has happened. Before we even know their story or where they came from. Because I want you to imagine this for a minute. Imagine if you haven't been to church in 25 or 30 years. And in your heart, you really question, do I matter to God? Do I belong to God? And you honestly don't know. And you finally, one Sunday, you muster up the courage to come to church. And you're nervous because you don't know, are the snakes going to come out at some point? Is it going to get weird? What's going to happen? But you just push through those fears because you know there's an aching in your heart. And you come and you're greeted with coldness and indifference. And what does that say to you about those questions in your heart? It just confirms your worst insecurity, doesn't it? Now, on the other hand, if you come and you're welcomed with acceptance and love and warmth, what does that do? It opens your heart to the reality of a God who loves you infinitely more than that. You with me on this, church? This is so important. And so let me be very practical and give you, how can we welcome people better? Because if this is your church, you have a responsibility in this. And it starts very simple. Number one, when you come here, make eye contact with people and smile. Everybody just try and smile. Man, those are some beautiful smiles. When you come, make eye contact with people. Look people in the eye. Acknowledge that they're there. Be warm. Don't come through the doors as Darth Vader. You know, just dun, 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 dun. Don't do that. Make this a welcoming environment. It makes a difference. Number two, give yourself some margin. Come either maybe like 10 minutes before service or 10 minutes after. And just be open to connecting with someone. Because you got to give yourself a little bit of time if you're going to make people feel welcome, right? No one feels welcome if you're like, hey, how you doing? Got to go. See you later. Thanks for coming. Got to hit Taco Bell. The Taco Bell will still be there. I don't even know if there's one around here, but you get what I'm saying. Give yourself a little margin before or after. Third, be first to introduce yourself. I know this sounds so simple, church, but this is so important. Don't write me off on this. I'll hunt you down. I'm just kidding. That's not very welcoming, is it? Be first. Be the first to introduce yourself. And don't go up to someone and say, hey, my name's Chet. Is this your first time here? And then they're like, no, I've been here for the last 5 years. I've sat by you 22 times. You've ignored me every single time. No, it's not my first time. Don't do that. Just say, hey, my name's Chet, but use your name. And then then they can tell you their name. That's kind of how that works. But be the first to do it. And don't just try to talk to people you know. Try to find someone you don't know. And just be friendly. Fourth, be a good host. When someone comes to your house, I bet you're a good host. They come in and you're like, hey, so glad you're here. Oh, you got to go to the bathroom. It's right over here. Can I get you a bottle of water, a Diet Dr. Pepper? What do you want? Here's a seat for you. You show them where everything's at. And you try to make them comfortable, right? Well, here's what we have to do as a church. We have to be good hosts to people that come here for the first time. And I want you to be sensitive to that. If you see someone wandering around and they got 25 kids and you can tell they don't know where to go, walk them to the kids' registration. If you can tell someone's about to lose control of their bladder because they don't know where the bathrooms are, say, right over there. You're going to get through it. Building's not that big. You'll make it. Be a good host. If it's a crowded service and you see someone comes in late, and don't be like, well, the real Christians are on time here. Because I know that's not true. I want you to think, maybe I could scoot over and they could sit here so they don't have to walk, do the walk of shame, sit up front, and then they're in the splash zone. They're getting spit on by me. It's be a good host, church. Can I get an amen on this? Amen. This is so important, and it's so easy. And you have a role in it, and I have a role in it. And here's the last one, maybe the most important. Don't be awkward. Just don't. Don't be a weirdo. Try and be a good host, but if they don't want to talk to you, don't force it. Say, all right, we'll talk to you later. Don't chase someone down in the parking lot and say, I just met you. We're going to be best friends forever. That's awkward and it's weird. So let's just try to be welcoming instead. Church, this is important. If we are a welcoming church, and I think we're good at it, but we have the potential to be great at it. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about being great at this. And it starts with you, and it starts with me, and it starts with this is how we love people. We acknowledge that they exist. We get to know their name. We try to make them feel there's a place for you here. And there is even more important, a place for you in God's kingdom. And I want to help you feel that and see it. We got to be more of a welcoming church. Here's the second thing. We got to become better at welcoming people into our lives. And here's what I mean. There might be people in your life and my life that need a friend. And you know it. You work with them. You see them a lot. They're in your sort of orbit. And you look at them and you're like, yeah, they need a friend. I just don't want to do it. I don't think maybe they have that much to offer. I'm friended out. I got plenty of friends. I don't really need to spend any more time or relationship. But can I just say to you, maybe that person is in your life, not for your benefit, but for theirs. And maybe God is saying, I know that this is going to be a relationship where you pour more into than you get out. But that little time and energy that you sacrifice will be an absolute game changer in their life. And so maybe there is someone in our lives that we need to be a friend to, and we need to welcome, and we need to help them know that there is at least one person that they matter to and that cares about them. You with me on this, church? That is an incredible gift that we can give others. Let me talk about this last part. We have to welcome others as Christ has welcomed us. This is what Paul says. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And let me tell you how Christ has welcomed you and how Christ has welcomed me. The best way I can describe it is Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 15. And it's a story about two sons and their dad. And their dad was a wealthy man. He had done well for himself. And the younger son got this idea in his head that he was going to get his dad's money early. Very insulting thing to do. And he went to the dad and said, hey, can I have my inheritance up front? And he insulted the dad. He dishonored the family, just being a punk kid. But the dad said, all right, you can have it. And he gave it to him. And he booked a one-way ticket to Vegas. And then sex, drugs, and rock and roll ensued until he ran out of all that money and spent every last dime. That's a waste, right? And the kid was at the end of his rope because he had no money, tried to find a job, couldn't get anything good, could hardly feed himself. And so he came to his senses and he says, man, I gotta try and make this right back at home. And I gotta come home. So he made his journey home. And you know, if you've ever messed up royally, you spend a lot of time preparing that first speech. This is what I'm gonna say. This is how I hope it goes. And you rehearse it and you rehearse it, just trying to say things in the exact right way, because you know you got a lot of explaining to do. And he messed up big. He had a lot of explaining to do. So he's getting his speech ready, and he was on his way home. And as he was approaching in the distance, his dad, the one he had insulted, the one that he had wronged, the one that he had dishonored, saw him from far away, and he began to sprint at him. You think, finally, this kid is going to get the beatdown he deserves. Dad's so fired up. Dad hasn't ran since 10th grade football. But he looks like he's going to tackle this kid. And he runs and he sprints to him. But he doesn't condemn him. He doesn't berate him. The son starts to try to get the speech. He's freaked out because dad's sprinting towards him. And he's trying to get it out. And the dad embraces him with the biggest embrace you can imagine. And he gives him the biggest, wettest man kiss ever. Slobber everywhere. And when a dad gives a man kiss, it's a whole affair. And he kisses him and he embraces him and he says, you're my son. He won't even let him talk. Won't even let him get his story out. And he calls for his servants. He says, hey, get these filthy rags off this kid. Put them in the family robes. Get the family ring on the finger. Hey, fire up the barbecue, because we are going to celebrate that my son has come back home. The son that was the dirtbag? Yeah, that one. The son that made all these horrible choices? Yeah. The son that ruined the family inheritance, can't get it back now? Yeah, that one. We're going to celebrate that one? Yeah. We're going to celebrate it. And we're going full throttle in this celebration. And Jesus says, he tells that story to say, that's how he welcomes all of us. Whether you think you are or not, we all are that son. In some way, in some form, we all are that son. We all are that daughter that went away, did our own thing, insulted God. And when we come back to him, that's how he receives us, with that absolute love and acceptance. And so Paul says, that's how he welcomed you. That's how you need to welcome one another. Because here's what happens, church. When people know they matter and belong to God, God begins to matter to them. When people know they matter to God, God begins to matter to them. When people know they belong, they are welcome to God, then God becomes more welcome in their lives. And it's our responsibility to help them know and to welcome them in such a way that they know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we matter to you. Lord, it's a miracle of grace that you receive us, that you accept us, that you love us despite us. And we thank you, Father, that no matter if we don't feel like we belong anywhere else, one thing we can know for sure is we belong to you. And now, Lord, as we have experienced the welcoming power of Christ, I pray we could experience it in a fresh way this morning. And I pray we could offer it to the world around us. And people through us, through our church, could know that there is a God that loves them more than they know. And his love changes everything about our lives. We ask this in the good name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.